You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone here with Daniel. He's our junior producer and intern. And Daniel has been working on this show, Animals in the Backyard, and has some information for us all about animals that are in the backyards in places like Australia and Brazil. But before we get there, we are still talking with Cooper Freeman. He's the Alaskan director of the Center for Biological Diversity. And if you'd like to follow our playlist and get our learning materials and see pictures, go to childrenshour.org, look for this episode, Animals in the Backyard.
Something that we often see all around the world, as the climate becomes harsher and food becomes more scarce, animals are starting to move closer and closer to cities in order to find food in things like garbage cans. Is there anything we can do to protect the animals in our backyards and ourselves?
Absolutely. It's really important, even in places like Alaska, where there is so much open space, to be incredibly conscious and thoughtful about our own little zones around our homes to keep wildlife safe and to keep wildlife wild. Take Anchorage, for example, our largest city in Alaska. There are a lot of people there that keep chickens. They like fresh eggs. But if not tended to properly with good fencing, put away at night, brown bears may get into people's chicken coops. And that's an issue that comes up every summer. But with very basic adjustments that people can make, including electric fences, for example, are a great deterrent for bears. The chickens can stay safe and the bears can stay safe. And that keeps bears out of people's backyards and it keeps people safe from bears. Trash containment is another really important tool. For example, where I live here, the dumpsters we use have gates that you close for bears. And as long as those are maintained, the bears can't get into the dumpsters. And people are by and large pretty good about putting their trash inside the dumpsters and closing the gates. It does take effort to live in a good way with wildlife. But once you get into the rhythm, and if we design our infrastructure to do it, we really can live with these animals, and we have to, and we should. It brings so much joy and beauty and wonder into our lives to get to see a big moose walking across our backyards. The other day I had a lynx right through our land here, which was absolutely magical. It's a real gift to get to live with these animals, and it does take just a little bit of effort and thought, but it's not hard. We can do it. We have lots of experience and tools, and the benefits vastly outweigh the little modifications we have to make to our life to keep everyone safe and healthy.
Cooper Freeman is the Alaskan director at the Center for Biological Diversity. You can learn more about their work and see links and more at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Animals in the Backyard. We've got more coming up. Stick with us. Raccoon and Possum is the Hollow Trees from their Hollow Trees release. You're listening to the Children's Hour, and Daniel, our junior producer and intern, has been working on this show on animals in the backyard.
Australia, home of the Great Barrier Reef, the Sydney Opera House, and some of the strangest animals known to humankind. From tiny venomous spiders to giant saltwater crocodiles, There is no lack of crazy creatures in Australia. And a critter that is a whole lot less scary, but just as silly, is the koala. While these creatures prefer the Australian woodlands, full of native eucalyptus plants, human expansion has forced these animals to live closer and closer to humans. However, these koalas are often in danger of being hit by cars, and can even spread serious diseases to humans. Because of this, it is important for Australians to stay alert around areas and keep a respectful distance between themselves, their pets, and the koalas. Another animal that can be found in an Australian's backyard is the Australian magpie. And somehow, despite living in the same country with some of the most venomous snakes, spiders, and sea life, the scariest creature that Australians have to deal with on a regular basis is a small black and white bird, often no heavier than 350 grams. While most of the Australian animals that foreigners worry about running into, funnel webs, coastal taipans, and crocs, either run away from humans or don't live all that close. These birds, however, actively seek violence towards anything that comes near their nest. From August to October, the Australian magpie's nests are often full of small, vulnerable chicks, which their parents protect. During swooping season, Australians know to wear protective hats and headgear to avoid getting pecked on the head. While the magpie can be a menace, they are a protected species under Australian law, and many Australians have come to love the birds. However, these birds, just like a lot of native Australian wildlife, are falling prey to an even bigger Australian menace, feral cats. Cats were brought to Australia first in the 1700s by European settlers, and ever since, they've been devastating to Australia's native small mammals, birds, and rodents, some of which are endangered or threatened. Because of this, Australia has taken to violent means in order to quell the large number of feral cats. This includes shootings, poison traps, and laws that actually require Australians to keep pet cats indoors in certain regions. While some people believe that these actions are too harsh, others believe that they are necessary to protect Australia's diverse wildlife. And speaking of diverse wildlife, we now move to the most biodiverse country in the world, Brazil, which along with Peru, Colombia, Venezuela, Ecuador, Bolivia, Guyana, Suriname, and French Guiana, contains the Amazon rainforest. The Amazon rainforest is estimated to be home to over 3 million different species and is 6.7 million square kilometers. However, that number is shrinking every year due to deforestation. Currently, animals such as jaguars, Amazon river dolphins, and species of parrot, monkeys, tapirs, and so much more all rely on the Amazon rainforest for survival. Furthermore, the Amazon rainforest is one of the few land masses that currently produces more oxygen than carbon dioxide, making it extremely important in our efforts to help slow climate change. While the thought of losing the Amazon's amazing biodiversity is scary, Brazil has made steps to push for cleaner agriculture and biodiversity. Tijuca is a national park that is over 15 square miles. The park lies right in the middle of one of Brazil's largest cities, Rio de Janeiro, and is considered to be the largest urban rainforest in the world. However, for over a century, the park was missing all of its native wildlife after plantations drove them out. But in 2009, a movement called Project Refauna was started, which over the decades has worked to return the natural inhabitants back to Tijuca. This shows that despite the devastation of deforestation and urban expansion, humans still have the ability to work together for the betterment of all life. And we can live in harmony with nature.
That's our intern and junior producer, Daniel Lentz, who's been teaching us about animals in our backyard. This is from Brazilian Playground, right here on the Children's Hour.
Antigamente falava com a cobra, o jabuti e o leão. Olha o macaco na selva. Não é macaco, baby, é meu irmão. Porém, durou pouquíssimo tempo essa incrível curtição. Pois o homem, rei do planeta, logo fez sua careta e começou a sua civilização. Agora já é tarde, ninguém nunca volta jamais. O jeito é tomar um foguete, é comer desse banquete.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. Today on the show, we've been learning about animals in our backyards. If there is an animal that you love in your backyard, which we didn't have time to cover today, would you please tell us about it? Go to childrenshour.org and you'll see how to contact us. And while you're there, you can find so much information about what you learned today on the show, including our learning materials, our learning guide that meets and cites educational standards, and our activities. It's all at childrenshour.org. Look for Animals in the Backyard. We'll catch you next time for another edition of the Children's Hour.
The Children's Hour is produced by the Children's Hour Incorporated, a New Mexico nonprofit.
You can find photos, links, learn-along guides, and more about us at childrenshour.org.
This episode of the Children's Hour was written and produced by Daniel Lentz, our junior producer and intern, with production help from me, Katie Stone, and Sarah Gabrielli. Amber Scheel writes our learning materials, which can be found at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Animals in the Backyard.
Find our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to our patreon.com/thechildrenshour.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the Children's Hour podcast.
Our theme music was written by C.K. Barlow.
The Children's Hour is distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. Thank you.